President Trump is talking trade at the G7 meeting in France. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. President Trump is trying to sound optimistic about trade talks with China as he finishes meeting with foreign leaders at the Group of Seven meeting in France. The president says the U.S. and China will keep negotiating, but it's not clear if China is on board. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Ginzer is here with me in Washington. And Nancy, what's the latest on U.S.-China negotiations?
President Trump says Chinese negotiators called the White House over the weekend and asked them to restart trade talks. Trump said that the U.S. had two very productive calls with China, but a spokesman for China's foreign ministry said he didn't know about any phone calls between China and the U.S.
So it's been a busy few days in trade policy. Remind me, Nancy, where do we stand?
Well, on Friday, China announced additional tariffs on about $75 billion worth of goods from the U.S., including soybeans, cars, and car parts. President Trump retaliated, saying he would increase tariffs on $250 billion worth of Chinese imports from 25 to 30% starting October 1st. And he said he might increase other tariffs, too.
The president has also ordered U.S. companies to come up with plans to leave China. Can he force companies to do that?
Well, the president is pointing to the International Emergency Economic Powers Act of 1977. And that law does give the president pretty broad powers. First, he would have to declare a national emergency. Congress could end that emergency, though, and it doesn't look like that emergency order would apply to U.S. investments already made in China. There would also be lawsuits over an order like that. So, yes, the president has the power to do this, but there are checks on that power.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Ginzer, thanks.
You're welcome.
And the U.S.-China trade war is just one of the issues feeding uncertainty in global markets. There's still Brexit coming up. The U.K. has pledged to leave the European Union by the end of October, deal or no deal. Today, a Dutch government agency said nearly 100 companies have already relocated from the U.K. to the Netherlands due to Brexit, and another 325 businesses are considering a move. Let's do the numbers. The DAX in Germany is up almost 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 4 to 0.8% range, with the Dow future up 163 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is down at 1.458%. Turning now to the housing market, mortgage rates have fallen to nearly three-year lows, giving house hunters more buying power. Yet the housing market has been mixed this summer, with sales of existing homes up last month and new home sales down. Tomorrow, we'll get another key piece of data, the Case-Shiller Home Price Index. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Home prices nationally have been marching steadily up for more than 7 years now. But economist Daryl Fairweather at Redfin says that growth has been slowing from around 5 to 6% last year to 3 to 4% this year. And that's a good thing.
That's enough that people who own homes are still getting equity, but people aren't getting priced out so rapidly.
The recent drop in mortgage interest rates is helping buyers, too, which could once again push prices up faster as more people compete for a limited supply of homes. Robert Shiller, the Yale economist who helped create the Case-Shiller Index, says a construction labor shortage and zoning restrictions have kept builders from building enough homes.
That does suggest that prices might continue rising, and I think they well might, but maybe not at such a high pace.
Especially if all this talk about a recession becomes more than talk. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Cars have never been quite so complicated. They have sensors everywhere. Some practically drive themselves. But so far, they still can't fix themselves. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says there will be more demand for auto technicians in the next decade. But it's hard to find places where the next generation can get its hands dirty and learn the basics of car repair. It turns out vintage cars may hold the key. Reporter Carol Vassar has more.
It's auto shop time at the Raymond Hill School in New Britain, Connecticut, and a group of teens gets ready to do a simple oil change.
They're working on an old and rather large automobile.
It's a 1934 Hupmobile. It's pretty rare. It was very aerodynamic for its year, the way it's designed and stuff.
That's John Jarish, an auto repair instructor at the school. There's also a 1965 King Midget, and in the past, they've repaired some Ford Model Ts. This vintage auto repair program started 5 years ago with funding from Klingberg Family Services, a local nonprofit agency that oversees this special education school. The goal? Expose high school students to the simpler mechanics of older cars as a possible path to a career repairing today's more complex vehicles. Klingberg's Mark Johnson says some kids have never worked with tools like a wrench or a screwdriver.
So we're starting from some pretty basic things.
Finding innovative ways to get kids interested in auto repair early is vital to the industry's future, says Mike Coley with the National Institute for Automotive Service Excellence.
Vintage cars is a great opportunity because in some respects it's a little bit simpler, it's a little bit easier to grasp some of the basic fundamental concepts because you can really get your hands in and work and see how the actual parts mechanically work together.
The Raymond Hill Vintage Auto Repair Program doesn't track how many of its dozens of graduates have gone into auto repair, but 20-year-old Caleb Tellier, a graduate who is now getting additional vocational training, has his eye on a career in the business.
Ideally, what I'd like to do is at some point start up my own shop.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics projects a 6% growth in employment opportunities for automotive service technicians and mechanics between now and 2026, with a median salary around $40,000. In New Britain, Connecticut, I'm Carol Vassar for Marketplace.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.